Hi, this is Paul. Yesterday, a friend called me, actually called me the week before, wanted to talk to me. He'd been listening to my videos, listening to some of the noises I've been making about my concern, about how COVID is going to impact my church. And yesterday pretty much gave me a trip to the woodshed. Now, some of you might not know what that idiom means. Ronald Reagan made it sort of famous. I'm sure it was before him. Basically, he said, I need to talk to you. And he's a friend that has been following me nearly from the beginning, following quite closely, has supported me through Patreon. And he basically said, you know, you guys are terrible. He's somebody who's got a lot of experience in the nonprofit and the business world. And he said, you know, you guys are terrible at the money thing. And Vanderclay, you have issues about it that you need to confront in yourself. And he was right. He said, you know, we've been following you along the line of your meanderings and your thinking and your yeah budding and maybe this and aw shucks and all that. When are you going to stop whining and do something? You know, especially stop whining about the money. Get serious or shut up. And so he had a little, come to Jesus moment with him yesterday. And so, yeah, it's time to get serious. What are we going to do? He said, you know, Jordan Peterson, when he got on YouTube, part of what made it compelling was he had skin in the game. What skin do you have in this game? You know, my little YouTube channel has been a hobby, and I share my mental meanderings and what's on my heart. And for the most part, Living Stones has been supporting me, and many of you have supported me on Patreon and in other ways, and it's been wonderful. But COVID is forcing some things, and it's time to act. So one of the questions he asked me is, what do you want? Well, truth is, I want exactly what Jesus asked for at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I don't want anything less. Some of you know my saga with Daniel. Last week, I was actually able to get Daniel into psych ward, which is good. He wanted to go, and we were able to get him in, which I thought was sort of miraculous. And he hasn't been here for a few days, which has been a little bit of reprieve for me because he was knocking on my door four or five times during the day while I was here. But then I opened my door yesterday and there's somebody else right in his spot. And this is the way of the world. This is not the way God intended it. What do I want? I want nothing less than God's kingdom to come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I know some of you are atheists, and this whole heaven and earth dichotomy you don't buy and so on and so forth. But I was listening to Sargon of Akkad, who had a video out, Why New Atheism Has Failed. And there's some moments in that video when he sounded just like Jordan Peterson. It sounded just like John Vervaeke, a religion that isn't a religion. Religion is missing, and a good number of people are nervous about what's coming next, because on the back of at least Christianity, the West developed what it did, but they can't believe in God. Well, I think what I want and what Sargon wants, well, I'm sure there are differences, but do we want to see homeless, mentally ill people lying around on the street? No. Do we want to see people going hungry? No. Do we want to see racism, people being judged by the color of their skin instead of the content of their character? No. Do we want to see, well, the truth is, human beings don't know what they want. We want everything. Augustine's quip that that my heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. It's still there, but there's so much, even after we're affluent and secure, we don't even know what we want because we want everything. But when we get so much, we realize it doesn't satisfy. And the words that connect with me are, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Dostoevsky, I know he had it in the mouth of Ivan, if I recall correctly, or maybe the older brother. I believe like a child that suffering will be healed and made up for, that all the humiliating absurdity of human contradictions will vanish like a pitiful mirage, like the despicable fabrication of the impotent and infinitely small Euclidean mind of man, that in the world's finale, at the moment of eternal harmony, everything so precious will come to pass that it will suffice for all hearts, for the comforting of all resentments, for the atonement of all the crimes of humanity, for all the blood that they've shed, that it will make it not only possible to forgive, but justify all that had happened. What do I want? I want nothing less than this. John the Baptist was, of course, the one who made the way for Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the Elijah. And then when John gets locked up, he sends his disciples. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus was just that confusing, and Jesus was just that offensive that, in fact, they killed him. And this is Jesus' answer. "Go and report back to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. I want nothing less than everything there. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of Jesus." I want nothing less than this verse and what Jesus promised. What do I want? That's what I want. Now, I know a good number of my audience are not Christians, and I get that. And that's fine with me. In fact, I like my channel as diverse as it is. I don't want to have a channel with only Christians here. I want it to be a place where atheists and skeptics and Buddhists and spiritual but not religious and religion without a religion and all of those. I want all of you here. I really do, because I grow and I gain from you and I learn from you and you keep me honest. And I think the goals of the West, broadly speaking, are shared. I listen to Sargon, and I don't listen to him hardly at all. I've listened to one or two videos about him. But when I listen to him talk, I'm thinking, you know, he's looking ahead beyond, you know, in post-Christendom, post-modern post-Christendom. And he's saying, oh, and he was riffing on this video where my friend Adam Friended from Southern California was talking about John Gray's Seven Types of Atheism with Dark Matter 2525, who does these mock videos about God. And, you know, when I talk to my friend Adam, you know, we want the same things. Even though the United States is having this vicious culture war, one of the things that occurs to me again and again and again is the two sides aren't that far apart. Well, some are, of course, but there's a huge swath in the middle that really sort of want the same thing. They do. They don't want people who are hungry. They don't want war. They don't want unrest in the streets. They want people to find jobs and be able to flourish. And this isn't a Christian thing. This is a human thing. And broadly speaking, I think as Tom Holland has demonstrated, the West is in many ways united around the morality of humanism. Even if a lot of atheists want to debate whether or not that comes from Christianity, I don't, you know, if you want to have that debate, fine, but I'd rather have you believe it than go off into some of the other ways. Well, how do we get there? Well, I'm a pastor, and the reason I'm a pastor and not a community activist or community organizer or social worker or anything else is because I believe the church is the vehicle for application for exactly what God says. And, you know, the police have their role, and social workers have their role, and psychologists have their role, and plumbers have their role, and everybody has their role. But my application is people. And for me, the church has always been a place where people matter and a place where people's hurts matter. Bill Hybels used to say that the local church is the hope of the world, and I think that's right, but the church has so often been of so little use that majority of the country just walks on by. And maybe some say, well, I'm glad it's there, and I guess it's okay for some people. And other people point at it and say, no, that's the problem. And I understand. You know, one of the things that my friend challenged me on yesterday is, I mean, he's been listening to me, and he listens carefully, and he knows what I care about. And I care about my denomination. And I care about my little church, because well, we might not be the most successful place around, but you know what? A homeless, mentally ill person can come into this church and be welcomed and be treated with dignity and maybe one way or another find a path to unraveling the knot of their life. And many, many others whose knots are considerably less difficult than a lot of the knots I deal with come and find a little bit of sanity, a little bit of community, a little bit of friendship, someone that will actually take them seriously and maybe have a coherent, reasonable conversation where together, yeah, we've got jobs and children to raise and schools to work and all of those things, but maybe together we can talk about the things that really matter. And we can have a satisfying conversation with one another. And maybe you'll walk out of this place and say, I still don't believe in God. And I'll say, okay, I'll still be your friend. And I want you to be mine. And maybe together we can make this world a better place, even if we disagree on some of the details of how to get there. That's what so frustrates me about the political conversation, is that so often there's so much commonality on what we want, but people are arguing about how to get there. Okay, that's worth an argument, but let's have it be a discussion. And let's not throw bricks and burn buildings, please. That doesn't get any of us anywhere. The problem is that the church in many ways has been so useless in some of these regards. More useful than a lot of people think, because I'll tell you, all over the place you can find people. When someone is hungry or needs help or needs $20 for gas, they knock at this door. They don't go talk to the manager of the supermarket. They knock at the church's door, because somewhere remaining in our culture is the idea that someplace in church, maybe someone will treat them with a little bit of dignity. But I don't know what the church looks like going forward. I don't know the next steps of theology that God has us go through. And I appreciate the Orthodox that say nothing changes, and the Roman Catholics that change a little bit slower, and the Protestants who are sometimes changing not enough and sometimes changing too quickly, whether they be mainline or fundamentalists or evangelicals try to work the mushy middle. These questions haunt me, and these are the reasons I have my whole project. My whole hobby that I do of talking at you into this strange machine onto the internet that amazingly enough people listen, I do it because I wonder and I'm thinking out loud and I want people to think with me. And if you're a believer, I want you to pray with me. I want you to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because when I see a homeless person lying in the street, I see an image bearer of God. And when I see communities that are easily marked by race, and generation after generation can't unleash the shackles that are binding them, it breaks my heart. So what do I want? I think almost everybody listening to me wants the same thing. I want the church to be a place where people can focus together and work together. And yeah, I think all the head stuff and the spiritual stuff and the religious stuff counts, but I don't want it to get in the way. Because the truth is, in churches all around the United States and Canada and Australia and Great Britain and the world, you find people of goodwill who just want to help. And when Gallup did his polling and said, you know, who in the United States gives the most to charity, not just religious charity, but charity overall, it's church people. Because by virtue of the religious practice, they have learned to be generous with one another. And yeah, there are bigots. And yeah, people get uptight. And yeah, there's all these things that we trip over. But basically, that's what this program is about. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame leap like deer, Isaiah 35, if you want a quote from the Old Testament for my Jewish friends. How do we get there? We get there together. And for me, because I'm a pastor, the church is a big deal for that. There are lots of other nonprofits and other religious institutions and other, and government has a role. Government in many ways has just simply taken over many of the things that the church has done. Sometimes it does it better, sometimes it does it worse, sometimes the government should do it, and sometimes the government should let the church do it. We can have that conversation too. But the local church is the hope of the world, because it's right there in a zip code. And if it can offer a cup of cold water on a hot sacramental day, Jesus is present. A part of the trip to the woodshed was about money. And within Christianity, there's a real tension about money. And that tension is in my heart, because for the most part in the Christian Reformed Church, I've let the deacons handle the money, and the people at Living Stones have been so generous that budget is made. And sometimes people say, "Pastor, you need to talk more about money," and I haven't, and that's on me. But my friend, in fact, he's not the only friend that said it to me last week. Another friend who's a businessman, I got to learn from the businessmen. Another friend who's a businessman says, "It needs to have a financially sound footing so it can do the work." And he's right. And even though part of the complaint about churches is that pastors always ask for money, and so I decide I don't want to be that pastor. And a big part of it, as I talk to my friend, is, well, what happens so often if you crowdsource these things financially is you have audience, basically the audience captures the speaker. The MOOCs capture the night. And I've always in my church life been very resistant to that. And of course I knew in my church who had more money than who had less, but I never looked at who gave, because I didn't want to know. Because whether you stumble in off the street and you don't have a dime, or whether you come into this church and you have $1 million, I should treat you the same, because that's what my master Jesus tells me to do. Because I shouldn't use people for money. And none of us should. But the other side is also true, that unless God is in the business of your wallet, he's not in your heart. I've just been preaching in the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus says that clearly. There where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so I've got to talk about money. I've got to stop whining, and I've got to be more direct. Now, this channel has been my hobby. And the truth is, whether or not anybody... I started Patreon because people pestered me. And it's a clever pester because, you know, once you start sending me money, then suddenly I've got a motivation to keep meandering my thoughts into my videos, and that's what I've been doing. But I've sort of kept it separate from the church side, and I've often said, yeah, you can donate to the church. Actually, I'd prefer if you donate to the church. But there wasn't an easy way to donate to the church. Some people sent in checks, and then they didn't necessarily get tax receipts, and it's been kind of a mess, so I've been working on that. We have a new online giving provider, and I'll go into that a little bit later. They use Stripe, so that should work internationally, just like Patreon, without any problem. And if it doesn't, just send me a note. You know, maybe try and give a small donation. The truth about the church is that it expands and contracts, has expanded and contracted through the short period of American history, and continues to do so. And we're in a contraction phase right now for the church. And I think in many ways it's warranted, because the church is corrupt and the church is decadent, and so the church needs to adapt to the speed at which culture is changing. And I believe actually that the Orthodox and the Roman Catholics and the Protestants, it's all part of the variability that in God's providence, even within our rebellion, that God is helping the church respond to the needs of the world all over the world. And when I worked in the Dominican Republic, these churches that were poor, they helped the poor. The poorer still. Everyone was poor. And that's what we're about. And so we're in a contraction phase for the church, and that means tough times for the church. Jordan Peterson, I think, in many ways, was sort of like John the Baptist. He raised questions. He sounded alarms. He was a voice in the wilderness. And in some ways, his voice is silenced by his medical conditions. But his fearless search for answers, I think, engaged a lot of people. And through my videos and my meetup, I was able to find some conversation partners to talk about these things with. And along the way, found John Vervaeke, The Religion That's Not a Religion. But I thought Jonathan Peugeot's video, "We Live in These Stories." And Sargon had this other YouTuber he was referring to, I checked out his channel, is also doing comic book and comic book movies videos. And in many ways, this is the adaptation of the pagan world that we're living in the midst of. But as Douglas Murray noted, what if what's beyond Christianity in the church is worse than it? Douglas Murray says that as a gay man who who left the church himself. The church has a lot of stuff to do, and it's going to take a long time to work it through, but work it must, and that's why I remain a pastor, and why I remain a Christian, and why I still work on this stuff. Early on in my channel, I had a friend of mine, Dave Snapper, on the In for a Conversation, and David Snapper just has a hobby for him, has been, you know, he collects CRC yearbooks. CRC yearbooks are these weird old things that the Christian Reformed Church, this was one that's still in Dutch, 1910, you can tell it's still in Dutch because it's before the First World War when they started putting everything in English because the Americans and their anti-German sentiment wanted to burn down churches of the Deutsch. Deutsch is Dutch, not German. Please leave us alone. But they have these yearbooks, and my friend David Snapper collected these yearbooks and has a whole set of them, has been tracking CRC church numbers. And when I sent out a missive on CRC Voices, which is an email listserv that I participate in, and gave them some of my thoughts about, you know, whether or not my church is going to make it through COVID, and how many other CRC churches are or aren't going to make it through COVID, how many other small churches are or aren't going to make it through COVID, he says, hey man, these churches have a 60-year lifespan. There are some who are larger and exceptional, but the majority of these little Protestant cat-sized churches, they last for 60 years in a community and then they're gone. And Living Stones has pretty much reached the end of its natural lifespan. And he showed me a chart and he said, you compare this chart to your church numbers and see what you see. And yeah, he was dead on right. This is sort of a congregational clock speed. And well, I've still got 15 years to retirement or so. So, you know, 10, 12 maybe, I don't know. It's getting closer all the time. Just had a birthday. And then I think, well, you know, churches close in predictable ways. You know, the first thing has to go is the full-time pastor because they can't afford him anymore. And then the pastor looks around and, you know, do I become a part-time YouTuber, part-time pastor? How do I navigate that? Do I look for a new church? Do I leave Sacramento? The only problem is if I get a new church, probably one of the things, church would be all excited. Oh, we like your online ministry. And then the next thing would be, don't spend any time talking to those people. And I don't want to do that. So to become a YouTube pastor, a celebrity Christian, or a parachurch organization, I don't know. So I'm going to try a Hail Mary. I'm going to go after a dream. It might not work at all, but I'm going to go for it. It's going to have two elements. The first is Living Stones Online. What is that? Now, those of you who go to livingstonecrc.org will find our old website. And this is the new website. It's not up yet. I'm still working out pieces of it. I'm still setting it up. I've been busy doing that for the last couple of weeks. We'll have a website. We have an app. Now, people have said to me, you're my online pastor. And I say, no, not really, because you can't really have a church online. Watching a sermon isn't going to church. But what's happening now? We're all watching sermons online. And this COVID thing is going to be around, you know, when and if a vaccine is produced, will it be safe and effective? How can the rollout go? Will it work? We don't know any of that. We're going to be in this for a while. And people who are already parts of churches are going online, or maybe sneaking into scofflaw churches, doing it quietly, or maybe suing the government. I don't know, but enough of you are out there that you tell me, you say, I watch your Sunday sermons. And they mean a lot to me. And I haven't found a local church. And I'm a little scared. And I've tried a couple and I walk in and all these churches want to do is recruit me to I see, Pastor, you're doing the same thing. All these churches want to do is recruit me and make me a member and put me into their cookie cutter. And so I know that's the case. And online church really isn't church. But a good church is hard to find. And some of you live in towns where there are too few and there are three churches, you've been to all of them, and you haven't been able to make it work. Others of you, you have 50 churches in your town, and you're gonna spend every Sunday going to a new one each week. And so I don't want Living Stones Online to necessarily be a replacement. For some of you, it might be your second church, but it is a place where you can engage in this community. And again, my I'm going to tell people, you know, at some point, a local church is a local church. But if you need this now, I want it to be here for you. Maybe there's room in your life for something different. Maybe you're perfectly happy with your local church, and you go for the liturgy, and you receive the Eucharist there, and you're on a good terms with your priest, but for some reason, the kind of conversations we have and the kind of issues we're discussing here are helpful for you in terms of making connection with your coworkers and living your Christian life. So, and you've got room in your life for a second church, or at least an online YouTube channel or something. Well, maybe Living Stones Online will be for you. Well, what can we do online? Well, we'll have teaching, and I'll keep doing my rough drafts online, and we've got sermons. I've got two channels. Some of you don't know that, because one is quite a bit smaller than the other. And before COVID, I was having adult Sunday school classes, and they were one of the most popular things on my channel with a number of you, because in many ways, I think out loud in my adult Sunday school class, but I do so much more directly about the Bible. And so I don't know if it'll be a hybrid thing with our local one, or Livingstone's people will be participating in it. I don't know how we're working at it. I'm working with my buddy Rick, who gave me this, and we're trying to figure out a lot of these things in terms of, but an adult Sunday school class for online. One of the things that Tim Keller always talked about, what he did at Redeemer Press in New York City, was that after a service, at least when it was small enough, he'd have question and answer with the pastor about the sermon. I've always wanted to do that, but I couldn't really figure out how to shoehorn it into the schedule on Sunday morning. And so I'm thinking of doing that online via Zoom, perhaps. So we'll give you a day or two to watch the sermon, and then we'll have a Zoom session. And Living Stones Online, you can come in and participate in the question and answer for the rough draft or the sermon. You can watch the rough draft and ask me questions. They're pretty close, not always, but you can always check on the church online thing too. And then Bible studies. We had one of our one individual participate in our Living Stones men groups. We started a new Zoom men's group online at Living Stones. Was never really, I'd started tried that many times before in life, but men are often, it's hard to get down here to church after they've been to work all day, and so we've always struggled with men's group. Have a lot of women's groups, but so how about some online Bible studies or online video studies or online book studies? The thing is, I don't have enough people or leaders at Living Stones to lead all these groups. And so what we're going to have to do is find the leaders from the online community. That leads me to this idea. The Apostle Paul talks about membership in 1 Corinthians 12. You're just as one body, though many parts, as many parts, but we're all, many parts form one body, and this is members in Christ. Because we're not really an online church, I'm not going to use that word membership, but I'm going to use partners, because you're partners in Living Stones ministry, and we're partners together. Paul uses that word too, the Apostle Paul. The thing about partners is that they're not anonymous, and internet culture is full of that, so what I'm thinking, and just thoughts at this point, and so I'm gauging interest from you, is that we would have sort of an online congregation. Congregation is, you know, a congregation of partners. And if you're a partner, we'd ask for a financial commitment from you. I'm not thinking pledges or anything in churches. You know, the tradition is tithing. Many of you are parts of other churches or ministries, but we'd ask for that if this is significant for you, and if you can commit yourself to partnership with Living Stones, that you'd make an online commitment or a financial commitment to the church and to the ministry, to the at least Living Stones Online, because there's going to be some costs in this, and I'll talk about that a little bit in a minute. Right now, our costs are, we've had some donations to, we've added a new streaming computer, and if you go to the Living Stones last week's service, you see that We're starting to up our game, but we have a few more $1,000 worth of equipment to buy to get this where we want to get it. So streaming, even just for our own church, is right. We're upgrading our broadband, and we're doing all of this. So, yeah, money is involved. One of the things I would want from Living Stones Online partners are community decision-making. I think if the people are partners in ministry, then they get a say in the direction of the ministry. And I've practiced that all my life in church. In the Reformed tradition, the pastor works for the council. We have a Presbyterian form of government, so I answer to a board of elders. And I don't know how we would structure this exactly, but there would be a community of partners, and the community of partners would make decisions. So there's accountability, there's commitment, there's financial responsibility, and if we're going to do something online, I want it to, at least amongst the partners, anybody can participate, just like church. Any person can walk through that door. You can be drunk, you can be homeless, you can be mentally ill, you can be schizophrenic, talking gibberish. You can walk through the door. But a partner, their name is known, they made a commitment, they can be relied upon. They might have lots of questions about the faith. Their theology might not line up with everybody else's theology. And goodness knows that's true in church. And that's a dirty little secret that a lot of people outside the church don't know, that when you start to talk to people inside the church, there's all over the map in many ways as many others. But partners are committed to the effort. And then up from that group of partners, then we'll find leaders for these small groups. And partners will have a say in that, just like members have in a church. I'm just basically following the church model and seeing if this is something that can happen. So if Living Stones Online grows, maybe additional staff people who would part-time or even full-time, if it was grow large enough, have that ministry flourish. Now, Little Living Stones, we have a budget of $120,000. That's our yearly budget. And a lot of that budget is my salary. And so, if you give to the church, most of it goes to supporting me. That's just the way a little church goes. The building is paid for. The building needs some maintenance, but we're working on that. I don't know how this whole thing goes. I don't know that any church has ever really done this. If you know of one that's done it, let me know. I'd be curious. If, in fact, this goes well enough, and if there's a group in a particular place, well, I've got connections in church planting all around the world. And maybe if there's a sizable enough cluster that's participating online, maybe we can plant a local church. That would be cool. I'd really enjoy that. So Living Stones Online, if you're interested, I'm going to give you an email address to send me an email and say, I'm interested in the partnership. I'm interested in partnering. I'll talk a little bit about that later. But if you remember, I said there's two new things. So Living Stones Online is one thing, and it's specifically Christian. I'm a Christian minister. Living Stones is a Christian church. That's a Christian thing. The second thing is Estuary. Now, what is an estuary? Well, you can look it up on Wikipedia. Some of you know what an estuary is. An estuary is a partially enclosed coastal body of brackish water with one or more rivers or streams flowing into it, and with a free connection to the open sea. Estuaries form a transition zone between river environments and maritime environments known as ecotone. Estuaries are subject to both marine influences such as tides, waves, and influx of saline water, and to riverine influence such as flows of fresh water and sediment. The mixing of fresh water and salt water and seawater provides high levels of nutrients in the water column and in sediment, making estuaries among the most productive natural habitats in the world. The first thing is Living Stones Online. The second thing is estuary. Now you might say, Pastor, that's a really cool image, but what on earth do you mean? Well, we've already been doing it. Bridges of Meaning is in many ways part of my vision of an estuary, because although there's some complaints, there's too many Christians, we've still got some agnostics and atheists. And if you're an agnostic and an atheist, and recently we had someone who really wanted to set me straight about Jordan Peterson and all this kind of stuff, went onto the Discord, and I told him, you should go back, talk to these people. We don't really need more Christians, but we need more atheists, and we need more agnostics, and we need more Buddhists, and we need more Jews, and we need, because an estuary is a productive place for conversation where the fresh and the salty and everything comes together. In Northern California, we have the Delta, which is this enormously productive area. In New Jersey, where I grew up, we had the Meadowlands. Now, people have been paving over these wetlands, and that fortunately has been stopped, because they're vitally important for fish and for birds and for plants and for all kinds of things. And what I'm looking for are estuaries, and that's what our local Jordan Peterson meetup has been. And right when we started this, again, I backed into all this stuff, but when he started the Jordan Peterson meetup, I thought, what pastor in his right mind wouldn't want one of these in his church or her church? And because Jordan hasn't been producing things, we've been talking about renaming it a Jordan Peterson style meetup. Because the conversations, people would go to meeting after meeting and they'd say, I never hear anything about Jordan Peterson. The conversations are interesting, though. The conversations don't necessarily focus on Jordan Peterson. He's just how we got started. But they're meaningful and they're open and they're honest and productive and they're dialogos, as John Vervaeke said, because, you know, both sides leave, well, thinking, I got something out of that. That conversation was meaningful. It was satisfying. That's what we're looking for. And it doesn't always happen. Conversations are hard and they have to be cultivated. And sometimes someone talks too much or someone gets on a hobby horse, or, you know, pastors are just as guilty of that as anyone. But an estuary is a diversity of perspectives for honest conversation, for often having the kind of conversations that you can't have in public, of talking about the things you most need to talk about but have difficulty talking about it anywhere. And again, it's not a Christian thing. A lot of agnostics and atheists. How's this different from Living Stones Online? Living Stones Online is Christian exploration and formation. Estuary is open-ended. It's productive, exploratory, meaningful, honest. It's Vervaeke's dialogos. All parties feel like they leave having gained something. It's about meaningful conversation and building community around it. That's what we've had in our local Jordan Peterson meetup. And that's what I want. I think every church needs an estuary. Now, why in a church? If you go way back on the channel, I did a video early on with John Van Donk, who's been my partner in crime with this, with Rick and with Joey and with Tyler. And Rick had taught Joey in the middle of it, says, go and talk to a local church and see if they'd be willing to host your meetup. And I thought, oh, Joey, you don't know what's out there in church land. But churches have had a long tradition of hosting meetings. And to get our Chicago meetup going, I contacted a colleague in a Christian Reformed church and took them a couple weeks for their council to weigh it. But they said yes, and the Chicagoland meetup got going. Churches have a long tradition of hosting groups, AA groups, neighborhood association groups. My church has hosted all kinds of groups over the years. And for the most part, if it's a well-meaning group, usually non-religious groups, but if it's a well-meaning group, we'll host them. NAMI, National Alliance for Mental Illness, recovery groups, neighborhood groups, we've done it all, and many churches do that. And Joey noted that, he said, Joey as an atheist or agnostic, however Joey categorizes himself these days, he says, you know, when you're doing it in a church, people are, their language is a little cleaner and a little bit more serious about what they're talking about. And he was right. I'd never thought of that. And I was worried that people would be afraid to come to church, but we haven't had that problem. And it doesn't have to happen in a church. But I think every church should have one, because churches are too insular. Churches don't know what's going on in the hearts and minds of the people around them too often. And churches need these kinds of credible conversations that are on the edge. And so I think every church should have one. That's why in a church. And so I'm just giving it a new name now, estuary. And maybe, and again, my local group is going to, I'm very big into the group deciding what the group is. That's part of my church background. So whether they'll adopt that name or not, I don't know. But this is what I call it, because it's how I've often thought of it, that our meetup group is an estuary where lots of things can come together and have a productive conversation. Now, you might say, I want an estuary in my church because I go to a church. And that sort of was what we were doing with our meetup tour. And we made it down to Tucson and Chino and Bellflower. And the whole northern half, which we wanted to do, Fresno and Salem and Seattle and Vancouver and Portland and Alameda, the Bay Area, we didn't get a chance to do because COVID came in. Another serious bummer for Job, who was all the way over on this side of the Atlantic, and John Van Donk, who was our chauffeur and in many ways the schemer who set this whole thing up. Well, do you want an estuary in your church? Do you want to brand it locally? But is the concept what you're looking for? I'd love this to become a movement. I would love churches. I'd love Christian Reformed churches, but it doesn't have to be Christian Reformed. I'd love churches, Orthodox and Roman Catholic, Anglican priests. I've had some conversations with many of you. You want to start one in your church? Happy to help. And in many ways, participate in the Bridges of Meaning Discord right now. That's what they're doing. In some ways, Bridges of Meaning has been a prototype for this. But not everybody can get on. A Discord server is a particular thing. And we need these things manifested in different types of ways. And in real life is the most foundational way. And so maybe local meetings post-COVID, or maybe meetings online now. Does your church want help starting one? Send me an email. So this is what I'm thinking. This is what I want. This is where I'm going. I'm going to keep rambling on about everything. I don't want to stop that. That's what I do for my mental health. That's what I do to try and learn. And so many of you have been wonderful conversation partners. And that's going to keep going. And I want that to keep going. And I don't want my day job issues to get in the way, but rather I'd love to see this actually become something that blesses churches and that have churches that helps churches bless people. People, whether they're homeless or black or white or Hispanic or Asian, churches that are all over the map in terms of Christianity, and people, whether they believe in God or can't go there or what have you. So where is this at? Well, I'm working on it. That's why I haven't put out a lot of videos lately. I've been working on it. Whenever I get something stuck in my head, it gets harder to put things out. And I've been busy setting up the website. A number of you have said, if you need help setting up things, and I might call on you, but this putting together these kinds of websites is pretty easy, and it's a lot of thinking about the picture and thinking about the wording, and that stuff that pretty much is up to me to do. But there'll be ways online to do this, and I'm working on those. So like I said, we're going to have a new church website, we're going to have an app that's connected with the church, and working on all of that. So stay tuned. But I'm looking to gauge interest. So if you hear this and you say, Livingstones Online sounds cool, I want to be a partner, email me. So here's an email address. It's a little different from the one I usually use, but I started a new email address for some of this stuff. LSCRC, that's Livingstone CRC. LSCRC 1390, that's our street address. LSCRC 1390 at gmail.com. Say, Paul, I'd love to help. I'd love to participate. This is going to take some learning from my local church too, because this has been a hobby of mine. And yeah, they're aware of it, and they're interested, and people come and visit and say, oh, I saw Paul online, and so on and so forth. But most of them are over 60 now, and a good number are over 80. So this online world, it's pretty vague. And so this is going to take some leadership on that side for me too. So that's where we're at. But I think for the most part, the council is good to go, because it's good to go or be gone. And one of the ways to support is to support financially. And I don't ask for this hardly at all. Again, my videos have been a project of mine. They've been a hobby. But if you want to show support, there's a link below about where to give. It's powered by Tithely, and it'll be in the notes. And it's, in fact, I've made it part of the normal links below my videos, and so you can always find it. And when I change the church website, I'll let you know about that too. Basically, if the church sees financial support coming in, I think they'll pay attention. They are paying attention now, but basically online, you wonder, because online is very slippery. Do people mean it? Are they serious? And that's why the level of partnership I'm serious about, because if everyone's like, oh, we like watching your videos, that's cool. But I'm not necessarily going to change my life because you like watching my videos. I mean, if you're going to be a partner in ministry, I'm going to have some kind of assurance you're a real partner. And so we partner, and one of the ways to express commitment is money. So many of you have been generous towards my hobby through Patreon. I'm not shutting that down necessarily. Some of you don't want to give to a church, and that you want to support what I'm doing. And that's great. Thank you for that. And I'm going to try. I got taken to the woodshed about my level of commitment to Patreon. I don't like pay to play. And so I'm not going to start putting Patreon only videos and some of those kinds of things. I don't really like that, because I think, quite honestly, if you like what I'm doing and you want to say thank you, and you're moved to do that monetarily, which many of you have been, just do it. Just do it. It does motivate me sometimes. It gets to the end of the month, it's like, woo! Appreciate the support. Helps me, you know, I got three adult children living with me right now during COVID. So, but if you're already supporting me with Patreon and you're excited about this, you can stop Patreon and try this. And of course, you know, there's a thing for recurring giving. There's also a little tab to pay the cost, because if you do it this way online, there's a little extra money. And so if you check that other little box, then it doesn't come out of the Living Stones money. But they take less than Patreon. And again, this service uses Stripe. And so I think pretty much if you're able to use Patreon, you'll be able to use this. And I quite intentionally looked for a service that had the broadest possible international effort, because only half of the people who watch my videos watch from the United States. So, and this would help the church see the potential, and it would help me gauge potential, because, you know, we're not bankrupt yet. We've got a little bit of money in the bank, and our members continue to give. We've lost members basically because people are getting up there in their 80s, and when COVID is done, I don't know if they'll be able to drive. And so many of their adult children are saying, Mom, find a church closer to home. And then they're going to be supporting those churches. So, yeah, this is where we're at. And my trip to the woods said put up or shut up. So I'm putting up. What do I want? I want God's kingdom to come. It's what I've always wanted. That's why I'm a pastor. It's why I do this work. I don't think that's a whole lot less than what many of the rest of you want. And my goodness, if you've been listening to my videos, you know me better even than some of the people at church know me, because you've heard my thoughts, and I try to be as unfiltered as possible in my videos. So this is an exciting challenge for me, because I've often wondered, what can God do through the internet? Can we really do ministry through the internet in a more credible way than a televangelist who's out there asking for money? It's part of the reason I don't like asking for money. And I don't want audience capture of me. I think when that's a perpetual problem in churches, when churches are captured by their congregation and they can't be honest and they can't speak their mind. And Living Stones has never been that way with me. They've let me do this. So this is what I want. This is where I'm leading. If you want to go with me here, again, I've still got tons of questions about everything. You know me, but I'm giving this a try. So if you want a partner, send me an email, send a donation. When you send a donation, you know, maybe you just want to donate and you don't want to be a partner. That's great too. Make it a recurring donation. That's great too. It will express to the congregation, yeah, there's a chance that this could work. You know, it's like I said, the whole church budget is $120,000 a year. It's what it takes to run this church right now. I'd love to see that budget raised. I'd love to see us have online staff, or maybe some leaders who are online, you know, so because I can't necessarily do everything for everyone online. I've learned that in the last 2 years. So, yeah, consider partnering, consider supporting, consider giving. Thanks for watching. All the links are below.